cracking the code on how you can optimize, personalize, and monetize your app marketing and mobile growth efforts. Welcome to Mobile Presence, hosted by Peggy Ann Saltz. Peggy, a top 30 mobile marketing influencer, 9-time author, and content strategist, brings you her pick of tech, trends, guests, and cool stuff to help you drive growth and create deep connections with your customers. Now, prepare to get motivated and activated with our host.
Hey, hello, and welcome to Mobile Presence. I'm your host, Peggy Ann Saltz with Mobile Group, where I plan, produce, and promote content that allows my clients to reach performance goals and scale growth. And growth, that's what it's all about here at Mobile Presence, because we tell you how to grow your app, how to grow your audience, how to extend your retention curve. And we can do this because we get the inside track every 2 weeks on this special sort of mini series within Mobile Presence. We get the inside track on how you can grow your app from the UA experts that do it, because this is their daily job. UA experts, mobile marketing experts, ninjas, mobile heroes. They're amazing at it as well, because they have earned the success that has earned them the title of mobile hero, as chosen by Liftoff, a full-service mobile app marketing and retargeting platform. So we continue our world tour, and I'm really excited because for the first time, we have a mobile hero from Russia, with us from Moscow today, Mikhail Bateryakov. He is traffic manager analyst at Joom. And Mike, I'll call you Mike, welcome to Mobile Presence today, all the way, of course, from your office in Moscow.
Hello there, Peggy. It's an honor to be here.
It's great to have you here too. And for our listeners who don't know it, I mean, Joom is quite an interesting company. I was researching it. Somewhere between a Russian Amazon and a Wish, I mean, really a marketplace on the move. Maybe you want to tell me a little bit about Joom, and also, of course, about yourself, Mike.
Joom is an app marketplace. We are a mobile-first marketplace with a mission to let users purchase anything from anywhere in the world at the best price possible. Now we're currently operating in Europe, in CIS countries. We are not that big in the United States, but you can still use our application or our website here. And as for me, my name is Michael. I used to play in a band in high school, used to be a wrestling fan, used to be a gamer. But for the last 2 years, I am 100% dedicated to my work here in Joom.
So a band, I'm going to bite here. What kind of band, Mike?
Well, it was I cannot even tell you the style that we were playing, because we were just a couple of friends who were spending great time. We were playing punk rock, we were playing some metal, maybe some doom, gaze, or something like this. So a lot of strange music, but mostly we had fun.
Well, that's what it's about. I mean, it's about having fun in your job and whatever else you're doing. And you mentioned UX. I mean, UX to marketing. I'd be interested to know what kind of leap that was for you, because the way I'm hearing it is, you know, UX product is so important in marketing. It's an important skill. It's important talent. Do you feed some of this into what you're doing in marketing? Because you know sort of what makes an app special and, you know, make it sing, so to speak, to continue with your band metaphor. Does that work in marketing for you?
Well, it was a leap indeed. The only thing in common, I believe, both things are digital. I used to prototype and design the e-learning course for nine-year-old children. And no surprises, it differs from design for adults. You got to think different. You got to add additional constraints to what you can do, because children are not that familiar with interfaces. So I learned to observe any given problem from several points of view, taking into consideration constraints and desires of other parties. So it helps me a lot during negotiations right now. And also, due to my past, I can see terrible UX patterns in different dashboards very clearly. So it is a curse as well.
It's interesting, because that's it, you know, having to do UX for apps for children, for digital for children, teaches you, I guess, a lot about onboarding users of all ages, of course, because it has to be simple. It has to be frictionless. Is that
everyone is a child?
Everyone is a child, indeed. So we know about your background, and we know a little bit now about what moves you now, currently, right now, in November 2019, because you've written a great blog. I like it because I love things that are to the point. And you've got this Blog of Shortcuts, 4 Strategies to Simplify Your App Marketing Efforts and Improve Results. Now, listeners, will tell you about it later in the show where you can find this and everything else. But for the moment, let's just understand why you chose that topic. I mean, is it based on some sort of personal experience? And you said, that's it. These are the challenges. We need shortcuts. What was it that moved you to write it?
Well, actually, it was mostly by chance, because I got into digital advertising without any prior experience. And it was just too many information to be a pro from the very beginning. So I just had to simplify things to actually get things done. So I couldn't just take into consideration dozens of different metrics and so on. That's why we chose to look for only one metric. And this, the same idea goes to everything. We were a small company. Now we're not that very big. So we cannot afford to have dozens of people doing advertising. We're just 6 people, and 3 of them, 3 of us are ML machine learning developers. So we got to simplify things to be able to do everything that we want.
That's cool. I'm hearing a lot about machine learning, about marketing automation, how that makes, you know, that makes even teams with small numbers, you know, quite big in strength. Is that a challenge for you at Joom? Is it a thing that size and scale, and that's a challenge? Or what is it that you see as being the biggest challenge for marketers?
The challenge changes every half a year, I believe.
Okay.
When I first joined Joom, the biggest change, the biggest challenge was indeed a growth. How can we spend more, still buying the right users? How can we do the right things with lower budgets? So how can we scale, expand, how we can choose the right partners, how we can fight fraud? Later, we understood that there are different problems and how can we optimize our efforts, how can we make a machine make routine decisions, how we can, again, stop fraud in our traffic. And right now, I think the biggest struggle for us are retargeting and brand advertising. But here we still do not have a working solution.
Retargeting, I'm hearing a lot about it. Dynamic ads, you're going to tell us about that because you're a great proponent of that. But let's talk about a couple of the shortcuts. Now, fighting fraud, we're going to talk about that later. Let's just talk about 2 other shortcuts. So if you look at what you've written recently and you tell me number 1 shortcut other than fighting fraud, okay, what would it be?
Well, I would say the bottom line of my blog is, do not do something just because everyone do so. Do not pay for installs if that's not what you need. Do not pay for clicks if you do not benefit directly from clicks. Think what would be beneficial for your service, for your product. It can be even spam model, but this is a decision you have to make for your own product. We tried wrong approach in 2018 when we saw everyone is into influencers marketing and spending hard. We tried it, but we couldn't make it according to our KPIs, and we couldn't scale the source. So we dropped it and focused on sources that can deliver us desired volumes, no metrics. So the bottom line is pay for value, not for metrics.
I like that one, actually. That could be a motto on a t-shirt, actually, Mike, because, you know, a lot of people did go for influencer marketing. In fairness, it works in some places. It works in some verticals. I'm not going to diss influencer marketing, but you learned that that wasn't the way to do it. And that wasn't the KPI you wanted to measure. I mean, how do you measure influence? We could talk about that in the show. Yes. So you focused on what? Did you focus on specific events, specific transactions? Because of course, you have to pick maybe not the North Star metric, but you have to be very clear about your KPIs, and they have to align with your goals. So what did you end up looking at Joom, rather?
It's quite easy because we are e-commerce marketplace, and we need revenue coming from our users. So we're focusing on revenue with our affiliates. We're working on a model called revenue share. When we pay them just some percentage of the revenue generated by the users within the first week of their lifetime in Joom. So this means we made every cooperation that we have win-win. So if a partner is spending hard, he brings us more volumes. And that means we pay them more and more. And if the KPIs are matched, everyone is happy.
That makes sense. So then your events would be really about understanding who are your valuable, you know, your partners, your affiliates. So they're, you know, they're bringing in business, and it's a way of measuring and incentivizing them as well, I would imagine.
Yep. You're all right. Still, just when we finished buying users, the work is only in the very beginning, because we have a lot of push notifications, email marketing, something inside our application, some splash banners, and so on, just to make users make users buy something, be happy, and spread the word about our application.
Mm-hmm. Anything special that you're doing to incentivize? Exactly. You want people to come back as often as possible. Of course, as a marketplace, not everyone's a shopaholic, right? So there has to be something to keep them coming back. Is this the usual sort of showing them offers, or is it just having really cool dynamic ads that say you've been looking at that item, keep looking at it? I'm just wondering what the different approaches, the different strategies are.
Well, we are not very much of a professionals here. We couldn't find our silver bullet here. But I can say that push notifications are working amazingly good, and it was a surprise for me. But for our audience, great notifications with a well-structured message is doing just fine.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a message, unfortunately, that we have to go to break right now. I couldn't hope for a better segue. Thank you so much, Mike. But listeners, don't go away, because when we get back, we'll be talking about another shortcut, how you can combat ad fraud. Big topic, big reason to come back. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Mobile Presence will be back after we connect you to our sponsors.
It passes before it's noticed. A slight rising of the eyebrows, a widening of the eyes. It may be accompanied by an almost imperceptible inhalation. The heart adds a beat like a quiet exclamation point on the experience. Within a tenth of a second, the reaction has passed, but not without leaving its mark. Someone found what they're looking for. Does your website deliver impulses to act? It can. Intended Consequences is the podcast for digital marketers who see their job as changing hearts and minds. If you're frustrated, bored, or in a rut, it's time to spread your wings with me, Brian Massey, and my guests. Find out how successful, curious, creative, and data-driven marketers are making a difference on purpose. Visit intendedpodcast.com or find us where you get your podcasts. Intended Consequences, marketing on purpose.
Miami may be the sun and fun capital of the world, but it's also home to the largest literary festival in the U.S. Don't miss the Miami Book Fair, a week-long festival featuring more than 600 authors from all over the world with readings, signings, and panels, capped off by a three-day street fair. Find books in English, Spanish, and Creole for every interest and every age, from biographies and novels to poetry and comics. This year, come meet poets Richard Blanco, Reginald Dwayne Betts, and Joy Harjo, award-winning novelists T.C. Boyle, Susan Choi, Edwidge Dantica, Taya Obrecht, Julie Oranger, Leonard Pitts, and Karen Russell, plus authors exploring issues of the day such as Eve Ensler, Alex Kutlowitz, Danny Shapiro, Daryl Pinkney, Ambassador Samantha Power, George Wilt, and hundreds more. Take the little ones to Children's Alley for hands-on activities, characters, and storytelling. Enjoy music, food, and fun for the whole family right on the downtown Miami-Dade College campus, November 17th to the 24th. For details, schedules, and tickets, visit miamibookfair.com.
Ready to do a podcast for your business? Make that podcast elevate to enterprise level. Let WebmasterRadio.fm expedite and execute your podcast to build your brand and broaden your customer base. WebmasterRadio.fm has worked with the world's biggest tech brands, Google, Yahoo, and Bing, and have worked with fast-growing brands like ShipStation and GoDaddy. Now it's your turn. Contact BRASCO at WMR.fm and rush your enterprise-level podcast into production at a very reasonable rate. Email BRASCO at WMR.fm.
Supercharging your mobile growth efforts. Welcome back to Mobile Presence on WebmasterRadio.fm. Here is your host, Peggy Ann Saltz.
And we're back to Mobile Presence. I'm your host, Peggy Ann Saltz with Mobile Groove. We have Mikhail Beteryakov. He is traffic manager analyst at Joom. And of course, Mike. And I have to wonder, you know, if you like Mike, and I like calling you that, it makes it a little bit easier to tell you the truth, but it makes me feel that maybe, just maybe, you were either in the States and think it's cool, or you just think it's cool in general. So have you been to the States or elsewhere?
Well, not yet. I am mostly traveling to Europe. You know, for example, Berlin is my favorite city to attend.
Okay.
And, but I've never been to States or to Asia. Maybe it's just a plan for 2020.
Okay. So some goals for 2020. And, you know, to recap, you are a mobile hero. So that is a bit of recognition in itself. But it assumes that, you know, there's a hero concept here, right? You know, which superhero do you maybe feel similar to? Is there somebody you can identify with? I'm a bit of an Avengers fan, so I'll slip that in.
Well, it is not about the superhero, but from the university years, I associated myself with the Riddler. Riddler is a Batman villain, and he is a master of puzzles, riddles, and complicated themes. I'm not that much of a mastermind, but I enjoy making and solving witty things. I like digging deep into the data to get back with an insight or two or some unexpected things. Oh, no. So Riddler is my super villain. Yeah.
And that's the most original answer I've heard. That is very cool. I like Riddler. I'm waiting to see the Joker. I'm based in Europe, by the way, so I'm going to wait a little while longer. But I'm sure it's going to be a thrill. What about, speaking of thrills, challenges, something exciting? I mean, one of the top tips in your blog is how to combat ad fraud. And of course, there is no solution. But you do focus it on some great takeaways. But I'm wondering, is this based on personal experience? So, you know, you have your personal battle with fraud. There you are, Riddler with the data, beating it at the, beating it down and combating it and winning in the end.
Actually, you are almost right, because I at some point I felt like the battle is very personal for me. Joom has quite a history with fraud. We changed our attitude several times as the level of threat was different. In 2017, we knew nothing about the fraud. We didn't know the word. We know that Adjust has some fraud prevention suit, and we thought that it was sufficient enough. But in the very beginning of 2018, a ZK spoofing threat appeared, and we suffered significant losses paying for users that were never existed. Then we introduced our anti-fraud KPIs and added Scalar as a second level of defense. And for a while, we were quite fine with monthly rejections from some partners. But later, we decided that it is not enough to feel fully protected against fraud. So we stopped working with anybody showing any significant signs of fraud. And right now, it's rare case something appears on our radars. Our traffic is quite trusted and transparent. Yeah, and I believe in 2020, there will be new kinds of fraud that our readers just will not be able to find. So it is a really interesting field for me.
Yeah, everyone says it's a cat and mouse game, right? You beat one fraud, another one pops up. I'm counting a few. You mentioned anti-fraud suite from fraud prevention suite, rather, from Adjust, and also working with Scholar. So there are two of your partners. How many partners do you need? It's going to sound like a riddle here. See, there we are. We're there again, right, Mike? So how many partners do you need to fight fraud?
Well, this theme worked for us, but you might have other needs. What I would recommend to anybody, have a second and a third source of information. Do not trust data if you saw it just in one place. Always cross-validate everything you see. For us, a cascade of anti-fraud solutions worked amazingly well. Every install we receive, we got tested by Adjust. If it's if it is not rejected, it got tested by Scalar. If everything is still clear, it is tested manually by me to find some anomalies. It can be a fraud of a different nature, or maybe some long-term LTV can be poor. So even true anti-fraud defenses is not enough, but I believe at least true is quite sufficient.
Talking about the types of fraud, I've been writing about a few of them. And I also wrote an article recently over at Forbes where I was talking about bot fraud because it's going mobile. So it was online for a long time and we dealt with it. And it was part of, I wouldn't say we accepted it, but it was part of what you had to deal with. And now it's showing up in app. So how about bot fraud? Is that something that's high on your radar as you go into 2020? Is this going to be on the list of, I have to watch, you know, SDK spoofing and everything else, and I'm going to have to watch bot fraud?
For us, it is not a rising threat. For us, maybe the baddest times are still in the past. But as any technology, bots can be used for good and bad things. And we saw significant traces of bot traffic in 2018. But for now, our riders only catch it when it is new partners. As any technology, bots can be used for good and bad things. We saw significant traces of bot traffic in 2018. But as for now, our riders only catch it when it is new partners. But here's the catch. As I told you previously, our riders cannot be as sophisticated as bots. So they can be stealing our traffic. Mm-hmm. But we pay for value and not metrics, so just empty installs are not a big deal for us. And everything else, we will see a drop in retention and in some other internal metrics. So we will just switch off the fraudulent source in a while. We would still pay for it, but we will not use it in future. I believe in 2020, we will encounter something completely different and fascinating. Mm-hmm.
That's true. I would say it's going to be always different in the future. It's interesting that you find fraud in the traffic and you say, okay, we'll just switch off the source, which is different from what some people tell me at events and conferences where I am. They just say, well, 10% or whatever, 2%. They pick a number and they say, you just have to accept it, deal with it. And here you'd rather reject it up front. What does that tell us about the approach? Does it matter? Is it different for different? Should it be different for different marketers? Or are the marketers who say, well, just accept a certain percentage and live with it, maybe they're not, I don't want to say they're not trying hard enough, but maybe it's not the proper approach to combat ad fraud. What's your view?
Well, first of all, maybe I misspelled it earlier, but we still have 20% threshold for traffic.
Okay, so you have a threshold as well. Okay.
Yes, we have a threshold as well, because there are always false positives. There are always some legal things why traffic can be marked as fraud. And of course, there are, for example, if you stop the traffic for a while, there will be fraud coming by the means of adjust. But it will be because the traditional distribution of installs will not be obeyed. So it would be normal, legitimate installs, but still be counting as fraud. So we have 0% tolerance to very fraudulent sources, because it's a rare case when a partner has maybe 30 to 50, maybe 30 to 70% of fraud, because it's either less than 20, either it is more than 80. Of course, there can be a blend, there can be a mix, but with this we fight with transparency. We are not accepting traffic when we do not know the bundle IDs, we do not know the exchanges or something like this. We still need something to be accountable for.
That's great advice, actually, because what you're saying is that, demand transparency. Marketers need to demand that. That's maybe, part of the shortcut here is just have very strict criteria for what you're willing to deal with. You can still have a threshold, because as you pointed out, we won't know for sure. There's so many different factors. But rather than say, just have a threshold, it's also have some key criteria to measure traffic against or partners against. What would they be in a nutshell? Do you have a couple you could share? I mean, one you said is absolute transparency is important. What's another?
I can say that probably right now we are out of networks to test, and every network we still might be testing is not comply with our KPIs. So I can say that practically every DSP, or maybe even the network that was one day now called the DSP, provide us just normal level of transparency. We still see bundle IDs and see still that is quite enough to at least try the source. So we're not asking for anything more significant here.
Mm-hmm. Quick question. How many partners is too many? I'm hearing that, really sort of like 7 to 10 is about all a team can handle, maybe less. Some people are going and being more ambitious. What's the number of ad partners for you?
Well, for the last 2 years, we've been testing more than 200 different partners.
Oh my goodness.
And The maximum amount within 1 month was 76, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow.
But of course, we're not working with that much now. Right okay. now, we're working most, I believe, with maybe 20, 25 different partners. But the majority of them are just media buying us Instagram, Twitter, okay. Snapchat, and TikTok, and different other sources. So I cannot count them as something unique. They use okay. the same traffic sources as others. But as for unique partners, I would say just as you said, about 7-10.
7-10. Okay. You got me on that 76. That's really something. I think with all that data, I can see, Mike, that you chose your superhero villain wisely. Definitely into the data. And you're going to tell us more about how you deal with the data and what you see on the horizon as opportunities for all mobile marketers. So, listeners, loads of reasons to come right back. So, don't go away. We will be back.
Mobile Presence will be back after we connect you to our sponsors. You are now tuned in to the world's largest online radio podcast network for internet marketers looking to dominate the B2B marketplace. Webmasterradio.fm. Webmasterradio.fm is home to some of the most respected authorities in all aspects of internet marketing, from SEO to affiliate marketing to social media, e-commerce, mobile marketing, and so much more. Our hosts travel to all stretches of the world and speak to the impact players that are affecting our industry. On air, on demand, and available on every mobile device that you can imagine. This is WebmasterRadio.fm. WebmasterRadio.fm. We're everywhere.
Are you looking for the best in WordPress speed, security, and scalability? WP Engine is a digital experience platform for WordPress, powering digital experiences for large brands around the world. With easy-to-use site management tools and powerful do-it-your-way development features, WP Engine gives you the flexibility to build it your way. Improve your SEO and conversion rates with a faster site on WP Engine. Learn more on WPEngine.com.
Do you look at the task of ranking your site at the top of the search engines like you would climbing the top of Mount Everest? It doesn't have to be. TopSEOs.com knows how hard that climb can be, and they can make top ranking a reality. Top SEOs send you to only the right search vendors and agencies that they know will work for you. Since 2002, TopSEOs.com has reviewed and researched the best search engine marketing agencies and solutions providers. Don't risk the cost of falling off the proverbial peak of search rankings. Let Top SEOs give you peace of mind. TopSEOs.com, the independent authority on search vendors.
Supercharging your mobile growth efforts. Welcome back to Mobile Presence on WebmasterRadio.fm. Here is your host, Peggy Ann Saltz.
And we're back to Mobile Presence. I'm Peggy Ann Saltz with Mobile Groove. We have Mikhail Bateryakov. He is traffic manager analyst at Joom, a major marketplace in Russia, talking with us today from his office in Moscow. So thank you, Mike. And it's great to hear. It's my pleasure, too, because it's great to hear from you. First of all, we went through the shortcuts in your blog. We'll tell everyone how to where they can find that and read up on that. But, you know, I'm an optimistic person. We start with a little bit of doom and gloom here. You know, the fraud threat, the different types, our bots coming. Let's switch gears. Let's talk about opportunities on the horizon, you know, because marketers love to hear what's next and what they need to do to ride the wave. So it could be a trend or even a channel. What's your pick?
Well, we see a great opportunity in dynamic product ads, as seen on Facebook. Uh-huh. I popularly believe that such ads are great for retargeting, but not that good for user acquisition. But we see this is a delusion, at least for e-commerce. We're also pushing our partners hard to beta test, alpha test such functionality, and already seeing some success with some DSP called Liftoff, surely. Mm-hmm. And dynamic ads. So my answer is dynamic ads. There is a future.
I know what dynamic ads are, but let's explain the value here, because dynamic ads are going to As it says, they're dynamic, they change, they will match your target segment. You know, it's that typical commerce example. I've been browsing, looking at shoes, and I'm going to see those shoes in a lot of different places until I ultimately break down and do buy them usually. So it does work from a user perspective. But is it more than that? Is it more sophisticated now? How are you using it?
Yes, we're using it the same way. We're not a gaming company, so we cannot just think about new ways to advertise our games, to think about new creatives and more new creatives and new videos and new HTML5 creatives and so on. But we have the major asset. We have a lot of our goods. We have millions of goods. And we're just pushing, choosing the best out of our millions and pushing it into the network, whether it is Facebook, whether it is Liftoff, whether it is Google or anything else. And we see the performance of every single ad and decide which one to use, which one to test. So basically the idea is simple. And that's a question for me, why no one is accounting for it for user acquisition.
That's interesting. So, let's say someone's listening and says, you know what, you're right, dynamic ads, I can acquire users with that. It's not just driving conversion, it's actually top of the funnel. What would they need to do to get started?
I would say they need a good research team, because it's not that easy that you have 10,000 of goods, you just upload them all. You should pick the best one with the best click-through rating or buy-through rating, or maybe some other things. We spent more than a year just to find the best setup for our catalog. And it was a full-time job for our machine learning developer, Flower, who is great in his job. So it's not that easy, but I believe that the thing that every company that have some feet, they have invest hard into it.
And this would be like, the whole idea would be, you don't know a lot about me when you want to acquire me. So you need to know about my behavior, my channel, some other things. And using this with machine learning, you're going to say, okay, Peggy is coming in via here. Let's show her this particular creative because she's this type of segment. And that's sort of like, make certain that we don't start off on ground, you know, the first step. You have me pictured her type of segment. So we're already engaging from the get-go. Is that what's going on here?
Yes, segmentation is another great part of what we're doing. Because if we're talking about the Facebook is doing all the hard work for us. Because Facebook knows a lot of everyone. But if I talk about other sources, when we still use the feeds, that is the job that we need to do. And we just actually started this year to run this. So we're in the middle of our way here.
I might have you back to tell us a little bit more about that and how you did that. In the meantime, on a personal level, you have a choice. I like to end on a personal point. Either a mantra for all of your friends, buddies, peers listening in, you know, what do you do to rock mobile marketing, app marketing in 2020? Or tell me what you're going to do yourself to make certain that you stay on top of the data and keep building your talents and have fun in your job.
Well, I would love to quote actually my favorite book, although I believe the phrase is not original. And the quote is, what do you think you know and how do you think you know it? If I'm not mistaken, it is called the fundamental question of rationality. And I think everyone, not even in marketing, should ask themselves this question at least once a day. That was my mantra for the last 4 years and will be for the next decade.
I like that a lot, Mike, because it makes a lot of sense, because you have to think, okay, what do I think the data is telling me? How confident can I be in that? Absolutely a great mantra for 2020 and beyond. And I know that our listeners will want to stay in touch with you, maybe hear about what you're reading, what you're doing, what you're thinking. How would they do it? Is it LinkedIn, Twitter? What works best for you?
Well, LinkedIn will be the best place to initial contact with me. I still cannot use Facebook very often. I still just cannot stand user experience here. So I try to not touch it very often. But in LinkedIn, it's easy to find me and easy to connect. So welcome.
You're on. And we'll add that in the show notes. And of course, if you want to read up on his amazing blog of the four shortcuts you need to follow, or any of the other blogs from any of the other mobile heroes in the series, you can check out their dedicated page over at heroes.liftoff.io. And if you want to keep up with me throughout the week or find out more about how you can be a guest or sponsor on Mobile Presence, then you can email me. Mobilegroove, mobilegroove.com is also where you can find my portfolio of content marketing and app marketing services. So, my friends, that's a wrap of yet another episode of Mobile Presence. Of course, check them all out over at webmasterradio.fm or search for them on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, all of the above. Just search Mobile Presence. So until next time, remember, every minute is mobile, so make every minute count. We'll see you soon.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.